Well, thank y'all for being a part of this, and just appreciate, I've had a chance to, the one thing that's frustrating about this day is that I don't get enough time to finish some conversations, so hopefully we could do that. I'm really a cheap date. Like, you get me a good cup of coffee, I'm there, so we can follow up for anybody that's interested in that. So this is a guest, but actually he's a really dear, dear friend. This is Ross Kirchman, and Ross is a real estate developer. He lives in South Florida. You brought somebody special with you.
I did.
Who is that?
My 9-year-old daughter, Adela, who's sitting in the front row, who I'm embarrassing right now. Sorry, baby.
This is the first daddy-daughter trip, right?
It is.
That's pretty cool. So we've got to experience that, and that's been a lot of fun. So I want to... We're just going to have a conversation. We're going to talk. I'm not sure who's interviewing anybody. I don't know if it's an interview, but we don't really need that. I do want Ross to tell you a little bit about his company, but I want to tell you first how we met. I'll tell it from my side, then I know you have your side of it.
We'll compare notes and see who's right.
Yeah, right. I know I am, but I was... doing like I do many mornings, in the car, I'm heading to get my favorite bagel at Brugger's Bagel in Brentwood, and my phone rings. That happens a lot, but I don't know why I didn't recognize the number, but I thought, that's a Florida number. Who knows, there may be some deal out there waiting for me. So I answer the phone, and it's this guy who says, hey, I'm Ross Kirchman, and I don't know him, but he starts telling me that a little bit about he had been involved in Higher Call has a whole sort of ministry to the commercial real estate industry, specifically to the shopping center industry. And so he had been at some of our breakfast events, and he started telling me about a Bible study he was doing. And so we start this conversation, and we just start talking, and it was a great conversation. I was kind of ready to go on in and get my bagel, though. I was a little hungry that morning. But I just remember, I'm getting ready to end the call, great call, just learning about him. And I said something like, you know, and you do this and you mean it, but you don't really think anybody will take you up on it. I said, hey, man, if you're going to be in Nashville anytime, please, let me know and let's get together. If not, I'll probably see you at one of the ICSC conventions. And he said, well, next week's pretty full, but the week after that, I'm available. And I'm like, whoa, like, this guy's serious. And so I said, that'd be great. So the next thing you know, he's coming in 2 weeks later. And he flies in on a Friday afternoon. Elaine and I meet him for dinner. And I don't know, we probably had a 5-hour dinner. Then we were committed to get together the next morning for coffee. It's kind of a theme with me, but we were meeting for coffee, and we met for 9 hours straight, and I was so blown away by this young man's intentionality, his desire to want to make an impact in the kingdom, and just wanting to, you know, hang out with an old dude like me. And so that's how we met, and it's been a great friendship ever since. I don't know what was going on your end of the deal, but
yeah, it's interesting. So a lot of that is true. He may exaggerate a little bit, but who's counting? So I had started this Bible study in commercial real estate in South Florida, and we've been meeting about 4 years, and I'm seeing people that are in our group like, man, this is awesome. Like, it's so cool. Like really the thing that was resonating with people was that they were passionate about commercial real estate, and they didn't know it was possible to like talk about Jesus like within your industry. And so that really resonated, and this group was growing. And so I started praying about, hey, God, what do you want me to do with this group? And in my mind, I'm like, okay, I started this. I need to grow it. I need to brand it. I need to, you know, that's where I'm starting with. And I'm just hearing God say, come alongside RCN, which is Higher Call, which is Dave Not For Profit. I'm like, well, what does that mean, Lord? And so the only thing that came to mind is to call him. And so I didn't have his number, so I tracked down his number from a friend. And so I cold called him out of the blue. And I was nervous before. I'm like, I've never cold called a guy like this before. This is kind of weird. But And so I did, and so the rest is history. But
yeah, that's, well, it's been fun to, over these last, I don't even know how many years ago that was, but it seems like a lot of things have happened since that time. Why don't you, you know, I know like right around the pandemic is when you actually launched your company. You've been in our industry, and for those of you that aren't as familiar, there's a, like any industry, you know, in the commercial real estate industry, there's definitely kind of a common lingo. We kind of understand, you know, the struggles and the pinch points. And so it's been fun to watch him. He was doing great with this company, but he decided to launch it. So tell us about the company. What's the name of it again?
ECP Partners.
ECP Partners. Okay. You're going to need to break that down for us.
Yeah. So when we were coming up with the company name, we wanted it to be meaningful to us. And so ECP stands for two things. It's why we're in business, which is to elevate communities and elevate people. And it's how we do business, which is with excellence, character, and people are treasure, deals are a tool. So that's three of our core values that we try to live by.
So people are treasure, deals.
Yeah, that was something the Lord gave me a few years ago, and it was that commercial real estate, the way it's wired, everyone says relationships are so important. But if you really drill down, well, why are relationships important? It's so that you can get deals. And so really the way that commercial real estate operates is deals are treasure, people are a tool. You use people as a tool to get your deals. And so we're like, what would it look like if we turned that around and actually treasured the people and used deals as a way to treasure those people?
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I need to go change our core values or something. I don't know. No, that's great. So I want to know, so you tell us why are you a real estate developer? How did that happen?
Well, I would say I love to create. And okay. I think that's just from God. He gave me this desire to create. I love the tangible aspect of real estate and just knowing that what I'm working on a daily basis, I can drive by and see that it creates jobs, that it creates places for people to go shop and enjoy and live at. But I love the challenge. I love the, but really, I feel like it's a calling. You know, it's something that God has gifted me to do that I enjoy doing, and it's something that I want to use to make my area a better place.
Yeah, and I know you love your job. You love your work, and maybe tell us a little bit about your spiritual journey and how that whole thing really intersected really with your work life.
Yeah, that's so. My dad was not a Christian, so I did not grow up in a pretty Christian household. My mom took us to church kind of off and on when she could. But, you know, I was like 26, 27, was in commercial real estate, didn't know the Lord, but I knew about Jesus, but didn't have a personal relationship. And it was interesting, like, one of the blocks for me with going all in for Jesus was that I thought if I went all in for Jesus that my life would be boring. And one of the thoughts I had was that if I go all in, it means I have to either become a pastor or a full-time missionary. And I loved real estate. I loved what I did. So I'm like, how am I going to do that? And so at that time, that block, one of the things that happened is David, through Higher Call, had a weekly devotional that he sent out. And it was about bringing Jesus into commercial real estate. And so I don't know how I ended up on the list. It's sovereignty of God, because I surely didn't sign up for it. But somehow I'm on this list, and I get these weekly Monday morning emails. I'm not a Christian. I'm like coming in like hungover Monday morning to work, but I get these emails, and like something just spoke to me, and it was like one of the tools God used to draw me over like a 2-year period, where it just like broke down all the barriers, and where I just decided, you know what, I'm all in. Like, I want Jesus, and I don't care what it means. And one of the tools was David's devotionals that came out Monday mornings.
But is it you said something that. I'm wondering if y'all feel the same way, but I mean, I've come across so many people who have this sense of, okay, if I commit my life to Christ, then I guess I have to go on a church staff, or I got to go on the mission field or something. And those are wonderful things when God calls you to do that. But like, that is interesting that's such a barrier, even after all these years, and particularly even looking, you know, I think about Paul, because Paul's a tent maker. I mean, that his tent making opened up all kinds of doors for him. So,
yeah, think about, like, if you guys watch the Super Bowl, you know, Jalen Hurts, the quarterback for the Eagles, won the Super Bowl. Imagine if when he was 21 years old, he's like, you know what? I love Jesus, so I'm going to retire from football, and I'm going to go overseas and be a missionary. And it's just like 6'4", like 240-pound guy that can squat 600 pounds would just walk away from, like, these immense physical gifts he has. But guess what happened? He won the Super Bowl, and guess who got the glory? God did. And it's like So he was walking in his calling. And so I feel like each of us in our marketplace, we're gifted to be used by the King for his glory. And so part of this conference is we want to activate as many people as possible to step into that.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing, just thinking about this, I would love for you to talk a little bit about something that you started. So there's a term that we throw around that I've thrown around, and I've said this a few times, and some pastors kind of went like, what are you doing? But it's called kingdom entrepreneurship, and I just believe that is a real thing. And so, wait a minute, is Nick still here? Where's Nick? Right there, okay. So we're going to come back to Nick in a minute, but there's a story, and so Nick, you're going to hear about the thing that you know about, this prayer call. You're going to hear how it started. So tell us about that whole prayer call.
Yeah, so when you hear about starting something, you know, for God, it sounds like complex, but really this was not complex, and it was simple. COVID happened. I'm sitting in my house because everyone's on lockdown, and so one of the things we try to do as a family during COVID is to have lunch together every day. So we'd sit at our lunch table, me and Adela and my wife Casey and our three other kids sit at the lunch table and have lunch together. And at that time, our church started this prayer call on Zoom. And we would just sit there, and there'd be like one of the worship pastors would sing a song. And so we'd like worship God together at lunch. And then, you know, there'd be a few people would pray. And then I just had this idea. I was like, you know what? This would work in commercial real estate. Why don't we try that? So I took our South Florida Bible study group, and we just had a prayer call with just kind of the people that had gone over the years. We just invited everyone. There was like 60 people on the list. So we had like 25 in our first prayer call. And then one of the people on the call is like, Ross, this, like, we need to get this out to other people. So, like, you know, can we bring this out to, like, people in Florida or, like, even, like, you know, around the country? And so I called Dave, and I was like, hey, do you mind if I use the higher call, like, the email list for commercial real estate to kind of get the word out about this prayer call? And that's what we did. Yeah. And so that's kind of how it started, was just seeing something that already worked and just applying it to, you know, my area of industry and just starting. And as it starts, you kind of see how God moves, like, what works, what doesn't work, and you kind of tinker as you go.
Yeah, so this is, it happens once a month. It's a CRE, commercial real estate, CRE prayer call. And I try to be on there every time I can. It's awesome. 60, 70 or so people get on, and it's 30 minutes, and people are praying. As it turns out, last month I was on, and there was this young man, a college student, who raised his hand, asked for prayer, and it was Nick back here. And so some people on the call said, and then another college student said something, some people on the call said, well, like, how did you hear about this? And so he shared the person who had told him about it. And so then I, you know, I'm not very technologically savvy, as everybody in my company will tell you, but I messaged him and I told him about, hey, there's this conference. And it's called the Higher Call Summit. And next thing I know, some other people, Mark, where are you? Mark, so there you go. I think you reached out. And all of a sudden, Simone is getting all these people saying, hey, you need to put Nick on the list. So here we are, full circle, not planned, all just the providence of God. And so that prayer call is having an impact just by connecting people around the country in a particular industry.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see God work. And one of the things that, you know, Dave and I were talking about that's really encouraging to me is just like taking at, okay, what are my workplace gifts? Like, what are the gifts God's given me? So for me, one of them is just being an entrepreneur. So, and then looking for ways to use my workplace gifts for the kingdom. And so everyone's got gifts God's given them. So we would encourage everyone to kind of leave this conference and say, okay, how can I take my gift of hospitality or like you with marketing or like whatever gifts God's given you, how can I use those for the kingdom? And yeah, look for those opportunities.
Yeah, and they're there. We have, I think about, we're big fans of a woman named Sandy Rogacki, and she is the person who kind of does all the behind the scenes stuff and all the marketing for these calls and getting the word out. And she's just an incredible servant. I just, and I think everybody's got their own gifts, and it's really amazing when the body of Christ comes together and puts those gifts together for his purposes, for his glory. So that's really cool. So we're, all right. So we, We talked a little bit about Daniel this morning. When you hear about Daniel, and I know we were in a group and we studied all about Daniel, what's your takeaway for you just from Daniel's life and what you observed from his life?
I'm actually going to flip the script on you a little bit.
Oh boy.
I think you said that Daniel was like approaching 80 in Daniel 6, and you're not quite there yet, but...
Great.
Just kidding. So looking at Daniel's life, what would you say, looking at his life, like the concept of finishing well, like what does mm-hmm. that mean to you? And what can we take away from that?
Man, you're going to open up Pandora's box, because we start talking about that. That's been something that I've been thinking a lot about for quite a few years now. And I need to kind of back up, because I remember, actually, Ross, you're 41 years old. I track these things. And
hey, where's my birthday card?
So I'm thinking about when I was your age, and I would see people primarily in my church that were, or people that I know who were really gung-ho and passionate for Christ, and I would see that when you reach a certain age, people begin to sort of put it on cruise control. Is anybody here resonating with what I'm talking about? I mean, and I just want to, I remember actually the first time I really observed this, I was actually in my 30s. I wasn't in the church I'm in now. And it really started bothering me. And it kind of made me mad at the time. That was my own immaturity. Now that I'm getting older, not to 80 yet, thank you, I'm actually a little more understanding, because I see how it happens. But I just look at that and I'm going, that's why when I, all these years I've loved Daniel, but I decided, I wonder how old he is in chapter 6. And I started doing some research and I figured out he's in his 80s. And it just gave me a whole inspiration. In fact, I think I called you after that.
That's right.
And we talked about creating something that we ended up calling D6. And so it was for getting together younger men who said, if you want the trajectory of your life to be like Daniel when you're in his 80s, I'm running out of time, but you guys have time. Are you ready to do this? And let's go. And so we have a group of 10 who spent 3 years together.
3 years, guys from around the country. There was, I think, 10 of us counting Dave, and it was amazing. The friendships that were formed, and like one of the guys in the group, we're partnered on several deals now. It's been cool to see the friendships that have been formed and how God's using it for the kingdom.
So going back to the question, though, I didn't really answer, which my wife tells me I do this all the time. But going back to the question, so when I was getting ready to turn 65, some of you in this room know this person, but he's a lifelong friend. I started I wasn't having a panic attack, but I was like going, dang, this is like getting real. I'm fixing to turn 65. And so I distinctly remember, I pick up the phone and I called John Cramp and I told him, this is the night before my birthday, I said, I need you to buy me breakfast in the morning. I never do that kind of stuff. Like, I'll kind of beat around the bush and hope I get an invitation maybe, or I'll ask him, but I said, I need you to buy me breakfast in the morning. And so I had one question on my mind, and the question was, how do you know when you're becoming irrelevant? And I think, and so that was a fantastic conversation, but that was me thinking about finishing well. And so it so totally set a series of kind of, it's not like I went and wrote it down or made a covenant with somebody, but I made some very clear-cut decisions leading back at that time, and one of them is that I'm now moved into a new zone. I'm living for the next generation. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but that's what I'm going to be about. And so, I mean, I think, I got a lot of things to say about, you shouldn't ask me that question, because now, shut up.
We're going to finish the session on this topic.
No, we're not. So, I think that we all have dreams. And I used to think of myself as a really big dreamer. And what I realized is that all of my dreams were all about me. And so when I started stepping back and looking, I realized my world is really small. And I think I'm, look at me, I got these big dreams, and it's such a small world. And the only way, and the way that God has designed is for us to be a part of his story, and all of a sudden our dreams get so much bigger because they go beyond us. And so I think this is where, to me, this is what it means, the best I know at this point, I mean, ask me when I'm dead, but like the best I know at this point to finish well is to be able to be a part of his kingdom, which is just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And and I do think, Josh said something on our group, we were talking, and we talked about this whole idea of, like, really start now, finish well. That actually happens every day, doesn't it? I mean, if we think about it, starting now and then finishing well, that's a daily thing. I know we're thinking big picture, but we also got to break it down into small pieces.
No, that's a framework shift where you just described to go from, and I think all of us, I have this tendency, all of us do, to think of our own vision, and it, you know, kind of we're at the center and everything is around us. And what you're describing is a complete mindset shift, which is, you know, God the Father has a big plan and he's at work in the world, and that he's inviting us to join what he's doing. And so you're describing a bigger vision. That part of finishing well is how do I join that vision? Because that vision lives on. It goes on forever. It's not dependent on any one person, and it's going to go on past your life. It's going to go on past my life and everyone in this room. And so I love that mindset.
Yeah, and I think part of like what we talk about all the time is like, okay, so if this is true and this is where God's leading us, so what next? What's the next thing to do? You know, and hopefully we're all thinking about that today. Whatever takeaways you may have from today, like, what are you going to do with it? So, like, what encouragement would you have? Because what I look at your life, it's like, it seems as if, okay, man, just God captured your heart, and all of a sudden, man, you're off and charging, and you're using your gifts, your kingdom gifts, which I think about the marketplace, we have so many gifts here, and we think that we can't use those gifts for his kingdom, and we can. And so, like, what are some of the things that you would want to say to encourage people here today, takeaways from today?
Yeah, one thing, for in terms of your generation, like for my generation, this is kind of a encouragement and a challenge. So I think back to this Bible study I was a part of a few years ago, and there's probably 10, 11 guys, and every guy, except for me, grew up in a Christian household. You know, so mom loved Jesus, dad loved Jesus. Mm. And we asked the question one night, we said, how many of you guys, let's raise our hands, how many of you guys was your dad the spiritual leader? And not a single guy raised their hand.
Mm.
And I think, so what that was and what I've come to observe, so amongst my peer group, guys that love Jesus, that are in the marketplace, that very few of them have a godly mentor. In a business setting. And so what I would say, the encouragement and the challenge is, like, for your generation is find guys to mentor that are, you know, in my generation or younger, like, because you're so needed. Like, the wisdom you've accumulated over the years is so needed, and you can pass down your experiences, you can pass down your wisdom, you can pour into guys that are going to carry the torch for a long time. And those guys are out there, and you're needed, and so many of these guys don't even know where to start to find those mentors. So, you know, so I don't know what the answer is, but I know that there's a big need there.
All I know is I got a call on the way to get my favorite bagel, and that started something right there. So I think it did blow me away, the fact that you were so intentional.
And, well, Dave, yeah, missed one part of the story.
Uh-oh.
So part of the story is at that time when I called him, he was praying for guys to mentor. And he was praying for guys like in their mid-30s. And so I called him, and guess what? I was 35. And so I found him because God popped him in my head, and I called him. And so it was scary because I didn't know him at first, but I took the step, And I didn't know what he had in plan, but had planned for this. But it's been so cool. Yeah. Imagine if that never happened, right? Imagine if you hadn't prayed, and imagine if I hadn't called. You know,
man, that's a great man. That's putting it that way really puts it in perspective because, I guess in our own way, we did something. I think my part was easier to pray and ask, but man, yeah. But I think part of the deal is we have to have the boldness. We have to have the determination. Do you really believe that? Are you willing to receive and are you willing to give? And so I know that in our relationship, I'm the old dude, you're the young guy, and so I guess I'm your mentor in some ways. But the way I look at it, it's like when we get together, it's mutual discipleship. And there's things that, like, I gain energy. I gain vision from hanging out with him. I don't know what he gets from me. We try to get good Mexican food, but I mean, I don't know what he gets from me, but I do know.
Your wife's amazing cooking, and it's good.
Well, I do know that, like, we have something to give each other, and that's what, that's what I see as a huge need. It's because I do think there are people who want to be mentored, and there are people who are willing to mentor. But we have to figure out how to get people together. And I know, like, the Nashville Coalition of Faith and Work in Nashville has a little program, and so I've participated in that. So there's all kinds of attempts to do it. No matter what, it takes kind of that willingness and boldness to say, hey, can you just spend a little time with me? I'd like to talk about, like, I'm trying to figure out how to balance my family and work life or whatever it is, and just start that conversation.
And so flip the script, what would you say to my generation?
Well, I do think this idea of really being intentional and just knowing that you don't know everything there is to know. And I don't say that to talk down. I don't know everything I need to know. I think sometimes we build up this kind of shield of pride, and so we just gotta humble ourselves. I don't know a way around humbling ourselves to get to these kind of places where you are receiving all the good things that God has for you. And I think that there seems to be a barrier there. And so, I think that's something. Let's talk for a minute about shift gears for a second, because I didn't really like the way I answered that question, so let's go to another one. So, when we talk about, like, I don't know how many industries are represented here today, but I'm thinking about all the crazy stuff that has happened in our little industry. It's maybe a big industry to us, but it's really not that big. And I'm thinking about how do we reach these industries? We've talked a lot about this, and you were Adela was what did you ask your dad, what is the Great Commission? Because you heard us talking about it. So she asked Ross just a minute ago, hey, what's the Great Commission? And then Ross quoted it to her.
Yeah, can someone tell us the Great Commission? Need some audience participation here. Go make disciples of all nations. So what's a nation to you? So when you think of the Great Commission, what does that mean? When Jesus is saying, hey, I'm about to go back to heaven, I'm handing the reins over to you, now go and make disciples of all nations. What is a nation? Who is that?
Well, I think we've learned over the years that a nation is really a people group. We used to think of nations as only geography, but now we've learned that it's a people group. And so kind of the light bulb that went off for me in that light bulb moment was, oh my goodness, industries are our people groups. Why do I say that? Because industries, we all know the language. We all have the culture. We all have networks. We all understand the challenges. We all understand the ups and the downs. And so all of a sudden we speak this language, and it doesn't matter where we're locate it. And like we do this prayer call, and we've got 70 people or so that are gathered on a call, and you meet at conventions and whatnot. But the idea that you can get together around industries, that changes the idea of how we approach reaching it. And so yeah, I think the industries are the people groups, which makes me think about this. You said something that blew my mind. I was all fired up about the prayer group, and we're sitting there strategizing how you're going to launch this. And I remember one of the first things you said, I want us to pray for revival in our industry. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I've had this deep desire in my heart since I became a Jesus follower that revival would happen in my lifetime. And so to me, revival, like within the context of my industry, is where many men and women in our industry fall in love with Jesus and get to know their creator, walk with their creator every day, and get to use their gifts for his purposes, and seeing that happen. And as I was researching revivals, like and ones that have happened historically, one of the common denominators that I saw was that with every revival, there was a group of people that prayed and prayed for revival to happen, and prayed regularly and intentionally, and that there's power in numbers coming together to pray. So we decided when we launched this prayer call that one of the things we would declare at the start of every prayer call is that we desire to see revival in commercial real estate. And when we come together to pray, we're praying for that. We're praying for Jesus to bring revival to our industry.
And that, to me, that's just so awesome. And it makes me think about all the industries here. I just wondered, is there somebody in your industry that's praying for revival? You know, I know that there's a lot of opportunities, and the cool thing is God's at work. He is moving in a powerful way, and we get to be a part of it. And so it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's flipping the script from, I don't know about you guys, but when being in church, like I always felt like, oh, okay, my goal as a Christian is I'm going to invite one person to come to my church this weekend. You know, that's always the kind of the goal. Not that that's bad. That's a great thing. But what if there's a lot of people that we know that aren't ever going to come to church? Like that ask is like not the right. But what if we could bring church to them? What if we can go the other way, bring Jesus to them right where they're at within the marketplace where they're already sitting? So that's like the bringing revival to our industry. That's kind of flipping the script and bringing Jesus to them.
I love that. Well, as we get ready to wrap it up here in a minute, Rob Dixon's going to come and send us out with a prayer. I just want, number one, thank you for flying from Florida to be with us today. Appreciate you doing that, and just for sharing. And I do think that there's a lot of cool relationships that are available if we pursue them and if we're bold. And if we pray about what God, what are you showing me, and then go do it. And I hope you're encouraged. I hope that you'll have a takeaway and that you'll take action. And man, God's up to great stuff. And we appreciate everybody being here today. You have, I think what's happened is this is called, I may create a new term here, mutual encouragement. That's not a new word, but I'll kind of come up with something new. But it's just, I think to see us come around our faith and come around our business. Bring your business card, bring your Bible. Just, it's the life that we live, and we can be open and honest about it, and we can be thoughtful and respectful about it, but God's at work, and I'm just glad that we could hopefully build each other up today to do something good.